Thanks for checking out this message from Restoration Los Angeles. For more information about our church, including service times, upcoming events, and home groups, be sure to check us out online at restorationla.org.
Awesome. Hey, good morning, church. It's awesome to be here. I know these are weird circumstances. I know this might feel weird, this might seem strange, but I feel it's definitely encouraging that we can take these steps as a church. And I hope that you are staying well. I hope that you are remaining strong. I hope that your togetherness is still growing, even though we are stuck in our homes. I hope that your faith is still growing, even in hard times like these. And I just wanted to say, awesome job, church. Awesome job. This church has done amazing things since this whole pandemic has started. I've had families bless my children with toys and learning supplies just because God put that on their heart to want to be a blessing to my family. So I wanted to say thank you. And I know that there's so much going on in the life of this church. So many people that we are still touching. So many people that we are still encouraging. And it's just amazing. It's amazing. There's still family game nights happening that are going on in the life of our church that I have won quite numerous of those. There's a church talent show taking place. Lots of amazing things that we're doing. Cooked meals that are being delivered to families. Children ministry toy drive-bys that have been happening. And I think that it's just a testimony to how good God is and our revelation of how good God is, that even though this world is falling under some hard times, us as a church can still be the light, can still shine our light, and can still try to make a difference in the lives of those around us. So I just wanted to say, this church is not staying put. We are staying safe, but we're not staying silent. And I just wanted to say, well done, RLA, for all that you are doing and all that you continue to do in this world around us. Amen? Awesome. So this has really been a very timely series. It's amazing how God was preparing us for what was going to happen with this whole pandemic. A lot of these series that we plan and that we pray for, they happen months and months in advance. And this idea and this concept of the first love, our Love First series that started back in March, where we went back to what the scriptures say about returning to our first love, and that first love being Jesus. And God was already stirring something, and he was already preparing something for us. And now here we are in a series called No Greater Love, where it's very easy for the world to be focusing on ourselves and focus on what we need and focusing on what we have. We are actually looking out above that and looking on to others. So we are in a series called No Greater Love. If you missed the past two sermons, Brett and Jody's Easter message, it was amazing. I encourage you to listen to them on our podcast. Listen to them. You can watch them on YouTube again. But go back, because there's a lot of things that I'm going to be echoing that I got from there. And then we can move on to what God has for us today. Amen? So, where we're going to start off our message is John 3:16. And we all know John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son in this world, not to judge this world, but to save the world through him. And this is the scripture that we all quote, that we all know, that we read on bumper stickers. But this is a scripture that highlights the greatest love that has ever been shown. We understand that God gave. We understand that there was a sacrifice. And God gave his best. God gave his first. And God gave his Son, all because of love. So I have a question. As we read this scripture, and as we sing these songs, have we allowed this love to take root in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives? Have we allowed this love to invade who we are and allow it to take root? See, this is the kind of love that grabbed a 20-year-old Steve, a punk kid who thought he knew everything, but had no hope, had no future, and had no purpose. This is the kind of love that gripped his heart, that revealed who God was, that God wasn't angry and God wasn't mad, but that God loved, because he was willing to give his Son, he was willing to give his first, and he was willing to give his best. This is the kind of love that we need to allow to take root in our hearts and in our minds. Our series scripture is Matthew 22. Matthew 22, where the religious leaders are trying to back Jesus into a corner. They're trying to get Jesus. They're trying to trap him. They're trying to get him to say something off the wall. So they ask him, what is the greatest commandment? In Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, Jesus replies, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and the demands of the prophet are based on these two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. And it's amazing. It's amazing that all the commandments, all of this comes down to these two commandments. Love God and love others. So what does it mean to love ourselves? Before we can love others, let's look at what it looks like to love ourselves. Because I know that there's some people out there that may love themselves a bit too much. And there's some people out there that may have a low love for themselves. So this isn't a selfish type of love. This isn't a love that's all about us. It's an understanding of our value and our worth. It's a love that understands what God did on the cross is because he loves us. Jesus died for each and every one of us. If Jesus valued us enough to go through what he went through on that cross, we owe it to him to value what he values. We need to love what he loves. And before we can love our neighbor, we must love him and we must love ourselves. It's crazy to not want to love what the Father loves. And learning to love ourselves prepares us and helps us to love our neighbors. We read about love, we sing about love. And if you have been a Christian for 5 minutes, it can seem like a pretty basic principle. It seems like an obvious task. But how many of us truly love our God? How many of us truly understand the love that God has for us? And when we understand that, that allows, and we allow that love to overflow onto a world around them. See, loving others may seem elementary, yet a lot of us still struggle with this thing of love. And loving others isn't always the clearest thing. See, we all understand the warm, fuzzy heart love. We all understand that love. But the heart that we read in the Bible, the love that we read in the Bible is a love that loves the world and the people in it in such a way that no one is safe from it. It's a love that nobody can run away from. It's a love that no one is excluded from. It's the love of God. So when we enter our Starbucks, when we enter our workplaces, when we enter our schools, and when we enter our families, it's a love that overflows. Now, I understand that loving people can be a little hard. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that make loving them very difficult. And I'm not looking at anyone particular because I'm looking at an empty room. I'm just looking at the phone. It may be you. But that's something that you're going to have to deal with the Lord. But I completely agree that some people make it difficult. But God doesn't love us based on our loveliness. God loves us because it's who he is. It's his nature. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. God loves us because it's who he is. For some, love doesn't come naturally and it doesn't come easy. And it may be, and it's not comfortable, and it's not convenient. And to some, loving others may seem careless. But as God's children, as believers, as Christians, you and I, we are created to love. We are commanded to love. And we are commissioned to love. The amazing thing that I love about Jesus is that he doesn't just make us or throw something out and just say, hey, figure it out on your own. Jesus gives us the pattern. Jesus gives us the pattern of how this looks. And in 1 John 4:19, it says, we love each other because he loved us first. That's the pattern. Because God did it, we do it. Because God gave, we give. And Jesus gives us the plan. And there's a portion of scripture where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet and he's giving them a look into some of the events that are to come. And in John 13, verse 34, it says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Jesus has given us the pattern. He has given us the plan. The plan isn't to put a bunch of Christian bumper stickers on the back of your car. The plan isn't to wear your best Christian shirt that lets you know John 3:16 across the chest. The plan isn't to put a scripture on your Instagram bio, carrying around a big Bible everywhere you go, waving a big flag that says, "Hey, I'm a Christian." Now, those things are not bad. Those methods are fine. They might be a little cheesy, depending on who you talk to. But none of these are an action of love. Doing these things is an action of love. The only flag we should fly would be the banner, and that banner is his love. Jesus gives us a pattern, and Jesus gives us the plan. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. And your love for one another will prove to a world, a broken world, a dark world, that you are my disciple. That sounds louder than any bumper sticker, than any Instagram bio. It's an action of love. First Thessalonians 3, verse 12 says, "And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow." See, God has given us the pattern, he has given us the plan, and he has given us the power to love others, to love our world, to love our neighbors, to love the people that are in our lives despite economic backgrounds, despite the color of their skin, their political standings, despite how rich or how poor they are, despite their love interest, despite it not being easy, no matter how much it costs, he has given us the power that comes from him to love a world, not in our own love, not in our own understanding of love, not in our own limitations of love, but in his love, in a love that overflows. As I was preparing this message, there was one word that kept coming into my mind and I kept jotting on my paper, and that word was overflow. It's a love that overflows, that does not run dry and does not run out. Our love should overflow, because Christ's love overflows for us. If we can, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Matthew 14? And I'm sharing this scripture because this is the picture that I got as I was spending time with the Lord preparing for this message. Matthew 14, verse 13 to 21 says, "As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. And Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'That isn't necessary. You feed them.' 'But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish,' they answered. 'Bring them here,' he said. And then he told the people to sit down on the grass. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and he took the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed them, distributed to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up the 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Now you might be reading this and you say, okay, I get this. These are, this might be an act of love. I don't really see where, you know, we're loving here. And I think we can pull out that the reason why Jesus does all things is because of love. But I got this picture that if we can be a church, if we can be a people that continues to just give and continues to just give our love to others, that the Lord will bring the overflow. Whether we have just 2 hours worth of love in our lives, whether we have 5 minutes worth of love in our lives, that as we continue to step out and as we continue to give it to the Lord and submit it to the Lord, and as we love the people in our lives, if we love this world around us, that the Lord will make miracles happen. That there would be enough love to go around. Where you thought you were shy and you thought you were quiet and you thought you didn't know the words to say to somebody, the minute we act and the minute we have faith, that the Lord will provide the overflow. That there will be a multitude of people that we can connect with, that we can contact, that we can love, because the Lord is going to make that happen. The Lord is going to give us the power. The Lord is going to make something happen. It's not in our own power, in our own might, our own strength, our own intelligence. We are going to submit this thing of love to the Lord, and we're going to watch him extend that love and pour that love onto everybody that we meet. Overflow. Our love can overflow, and God will do the infilling. And as we love it, and as we love, it will overflow, and it will overflow, and there can be more than enough love to go around. No matter if you're an extrovert, introvert, shy, quiet, God can bring and will bring the power to give us the love that is needed to love that coworker at work. God will bring the power to love our families, to love the neighbor with the dumb dog, the neighbor with the loud kids, the neighbor that gives you that weird look when you pass by. The Lord will give us the power to love that will overflow, a love that can be seen by a world, and they will know Jesus based on how well you love, based on how you love. This love thing is big to the Lord. It's important to the Lord. So I have 5 practical ways that I wanted to share with you today on how we can love our neighbor. Obviously, there's hundreds of ways. There's hundreds of things that we can put into practice. There's hundreds of ways that we can start thinking and praying. But I have 5 practical ways for time's sake. But before we get into 5 practical ways of how to love our neighbor, I have a question. Who's our neighbor? Who's our neighbor? Are we talking about a physical neighbor that lives next door? And I wanted to be clear that our neighbor is everyone around us. Our neighbor is everyone that we come in contact with. Anybody that we lock eyes with in the supermarket. The elderly man that lives around the corner. The homeless lady. The annoying worker at Starbucks. Your bosses. Anybody that we come in contact with, that's our neighbor. It's the world around us. It's our brothers and sisters in the church. But it's also the world. So number one, 5 practical ways to love our neighbor. Serve your neighbor. Serve your neighbor. Jesus said he came to serve. God, who is love, came to serve. Love serves. If you love someone, and if you love something, you'll serve. Find ways to bless and encourage others. Look out for the needs of others. I'm encouraged, like I said in the beginning, I'm encouraged of what I'm seeing right now from our church. Little things, big things, people who are stepping out and loving the world around them. Acts of service, acts of kindness that are flooding our circles. And let's continue to look out to the world who is looking for Jesus. There is a world out there that doesn't know this love. There might be people and literal neighbors who don't have this Jesus, that don't have this revelation. We need to continue to make sure that we are serving the people that we are in contact with, people that we are surrounded by. Amen. Number two, and this is my favorite one. See your neighbor. See your neighbor. And I'm not talking about just obviously looking at them, seeing them and spying on them and scoping them out. I'm talking about see your neighbor. Not just the outer man, not the outer woman, but see them in a way that God sees them. Look out for them. Notice them. Look into their eyes, their hearts, into their circumstances. Pay attention to them. So many times in this world, in our lives, in my life, that we are such in a hurry. We're so focused on what's happening now, especially in a global pandemic, that we are just so focused on us, head down, headphones in. But there's a world around us. A world around us that needs the love of Jesus, that needs to know about Jesus. And number two, like I said, it's just to see him. Take notice. Pay attention. Look through the outer into the inner. What are their needs? What are they calling for? What are they crying for? Ask God to help you see them in these times. Number three, and I cheated because I put two in number three. Pray and show grace to your neighbor. Two in one. Pray and show grace to your neighbor. Love others by praying for them. Ask God to give you a sincere heart and pray for their situations. Not just, Lord, I pray that you would help them move, help them get out of my way and help them get out of this city and get out of this town. Pray a sincere heart for their situations, for their salvation, for their circumstances, for their walks with the Lord. Pray for grace. Most times we don't want to open up or reach out because we don't have the grace. And I understand. I get it. So we need to pray for grace. We need to go to God and ask God to give us the grace. We must remember that we have been freely given grace. And we understand that God's grace empowers us to freely give it back to the world around us. We have the tendencies to do silly things. We have the tendency to say the wrong things in wrong times. We see this in the church. A lot of times we offend people and we say things and we do things that rub people the wrong way. And I'm saying in those times, we must give grace. When we're out in the world, in our workplaces, and in the stores, in the car, absolutely pray for grace when you're in the car. Because sometimes you say a lot of words in your car that are not in the Bible. And those people who are cutting you off, they need grace and they need God. A lot of us have bad days. We never know what the person that is on the left and the right of us are going through. No one is always right. Nobody knows everything. We're all a work in progress. But we need to know that God loves them and that we must show them grace. And number four, show compassion to your neighbor. And Brett shared the story of the Good Samaritan a couple of weeks ago, and it was amazing. And we have to understand that compassion is necessary in this world. And compassion isn't just a warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts. Compassion provokes action. Compassion provokes something. We can't just sit still. Compassion is saying, do something. Compassion is saying, take action. Compassion is saying, go out. Compassion is saying, reach out. Compassion must act. And if we have compassion, we will love our neighbor. We will take those steps. We will ask those questions. We will knock on those doors. We will take our headphones off for a few minutes and ask God, who's around me? Number five, sacrifice for your neighbor. Now, this is a big one because a lot of us feel like we don't have the time. A lot of us feel like we don't have what they need, but we need to start sacrificing for our neighbor, to the world around us. Your time, your energy, your comfort. Give what you have. Open your homes, not now. But when this thing gets all done, open your homes, invite, give financially. They don't have to be needy. They don't have to be homeless. They don't have to be begging for to experience financial blessings. Sacrifice for your neighbor. So number one, serve your neighbor. See your neighbor. Pray and show grace to your neighbor. Show compassion to your neighbor. And sacrifice for your neighbor. Many of us will find times where we struggle to love our neighbor and love those around us because our neighbor takes on many forms. And most times the issue isn't our neighbor who we're supposed to love. Most times the issue can be found in our own hearts. We haven't allowed God's love for us to grip our hearts. So many times we have to just go to God and say, God, correct this thing. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me what I can tweak. Show me what I can fix. Show me what I can change. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for God is working in you, giving you a desire and the power to do what pleases him. If you want to be poured out in love for others, if you want to live faithfully like Jesus has called us to live, ask God to show you what you can work on. Ask him how to fill your hearts with his love. Ask him to empower your actions and your mind and your love. If you only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, ask God and he will bring the increase. Love others when it's hard. Love others when it's uncomfortable. Love in a pandemic. Love on your vacation. Love when it hurts. Love always. Even though as a church, as RLA, we are practicing social distancing, we should not be practicing social disengaging. We are still the church. We still have a mission, and there is still a world out there that needs our love. We still have a message, and that message is that there is a God who gave, that there is a God who sacrificed, that there is a God who gave his best for you, for me, and for a world out there. There is a world of people outside of our doors that need our love. There is a world out there that needs to fall in love with a Savior. And maybe you're at home and you're watching right now and you received a text or you received a link or you received a message to hear this message today. And people reached out to you and they're inviting you to church and they're inviting you to see what's happening here because they love you. Because they want you to experience a God that loves them. They want you to hear a message about love, and they want you to know how much God loves you. There's tons of people out in this world that have a God-sized hole in their heart. And we can play a part in that by loving them and by reaching them. By sharing Jesus and sharing the Father's love. One of our neighbors that often get overlooked, and that's our family. The people that are the closest to us, our kids, our husbands, our wives. Practice loving them. Practice sacrificing for them. Practice loving them, showing compassion to them. Pray for them. Love them well. Show them God's love. Share God's love to the end of the world. Today, I just wanted to pray. I wanted to pray that this understanding of God's love will do something in us, will spark something in us. This idea of only having 5 loaves and 2 fish. What can we do with that? But when we have a God who has given us a plan, and when we have a God that has given us a pattern, and when we have a God that will give us the power, all we can do is just trust him. And we can give as well. So Lord, help us love our world. Help us love others. Help us love our brothers and our sisters in this church. And help us love others outside of these walls. They're just in reach. They're so close. Whether it's the worker at Ralph's, the barista at Starbucks, our boss and our coworkers, Lord, I pray, God, that you would give us the power, God, the infilling to overflow love to them. Lord, I pray, God, that you would break our hearts for this world, for those around us who need you, Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give us the download, Lord, of how to show love, God, more effectively. Despite how we feel, despite what we've always known, God, I pray, Lord, that we would grab a hold of the love that you have for us. And that love and that understanding and revelation will overpour into the world around us, God. A love that comes from your spirit, that comes from your power. Unconditional love. Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to receive your love. And you love us, God, like I said, not in our loveliness, but because it's who you are. Lord, and I just pray, God, that if there's anybody who's listening to this right now, they might be in their homes, and they're hearing this love for the first time. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just continue to grab a hold of their hearts as well. In church, if you're out there and you're listening and you are hearing about this love for the first time, I want to lead you through a prayer. You could just repeat after me. But this love that you're hearing is something that is doing something in you. And you want to say, I want to receive this love. I want to know this Jesus. I want to know this Savior. I just want to lead you through a prayer. So Jesus, I love you. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for dying on a cross, God, for me. Thank you for resurrecting. Thank you for securing eternity for me, Jesus. I turn away from my sins. I put my trust in you. I put my faith in you. Thank you for loving me. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast message from Restoration LA. For more info, visit us at restorationla.org and follow us at Restoration Los Angeles.